Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Think about you, think about me, and I'm espresso. I'm working late because I'm a singer. If you are on TikTok and you are not obsessed with that song, something is wrong with you. Because all I've been listening to is Sabrina Carpenter, Espresso, all week.
Okay. So we have to clearly be a part of the TikTok club to know that song. Because I've never heard it.
Girl, I'm going to sing you that song. It is such a summer...
You don't have to.
Listen, the espresso. I'm working late. My finger.
Oh my gosh. Okay, everyone. Welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, season 4, episode 10.
Shout out to you, Sabrina Carpenter. Welcome to season 10. I mean, episode 10 of season
4. Oh, Lord Jesus. She needs an espresso.
Yes. Sabrina Carpenter, please send me some coffee. Thank you very much.
So typically this part of the season would be our season finale because we do 10 episodes and wrap, but we are going to extend it a bit because one, why not? And two, I'm having a baby soon. And so I'm going to be on a little extended break. So we might as well just extend this season, keep talking about the shows that we love and we're watching. And then when I have this baby, I'm going to be gone for a little bit, so y'all will at least have something.
There's a lot of good TV out right now.
Yes, I don't regret it at all. I think this is the perfect time to extend.
Yes, there's so many good shows that were on hiatus that didn't start until mid-March that are ending now. So this is like the perfect time. A lot of our season finales will be in 2 to 3 weeks. So perfect time to indulge in all of the television.
Yeah, and new shows are coming. So we have, when does RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star start?
It starts May 17th. Cannot wait.
So that is this Friday. So that starts this Friday. You know, my show Evil is coming back next week. I'm so excited about that. So there's plenty of reason for me to reactivate my Paramount Plus subscription. Then we have reunions coming, right? So Summer House Martha's Vineyard gets its first reunion. Well, Housewives of New Jersey just started, so that'll take some time. We'll probably be on break by the time they get to that reunion. But if anything infuriates me enough, strongly enough, I'll be ready to still talk about it by the time we come back for season 5.
and I'm going to bring this up for 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, yeah. So, yes, but everyone, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting us week after week. Just be sure to like and subscribe to us on all whatever platform you're streaming us on. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, Google Podcasts. Follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That is T-E-A with a V, the letter V. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube. We're out there. We are on the socialverse. So just stick with us. Stick with us. Anything you wanted to add, best friend? No.
Watch us because we watch TV. And that's
it. We really, yes. And of course, send us messages if there's something that we haven't gotten on our radar that you think we should and you would want to hear our take on it. Because we will.
Yes, let us know any show recommendations. We're very open. We have a very different, open yet like alike interest in TV. So if there's anything you think she would like or I would like, let us know. We'll watch it just to see what we think. And we'll let you know that we watched it based on your recommendation and we'll shout you out. Like this person said to watch this and I hated it or I loved it.
Exactly. So on that note, let's get into what we actually watched this week in our weekly grab. So yes. All right. So there's some I've been holding on to because remember we took a little break because I went on my baby moon, y'all.
So beautiful. How was it?
It was beautiful. I'm not even going to lie. I love that these are a thing now. baby moons should completely be embraced. Mine's was literally just 3 days, Friday to Monday. And it was just relaxing and eating and being in the sun. I was in the Bahamas with my husband, and it was just really beautiful because, you know, you're about to embark on this journey together and you just need that time to relax and rejuvenate. So I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. I'm happy I got it because now I don't know when I'm gonna go on another vacation.
Shout out to whoever created the baby moon. I don't know who created this, but shout out to you.
Yes and yes. But once I got back, I was binging my television. But I'll let you go first, best friend. What do you have?
All right. So first on my weekly grab is, of course, a documentary, my favorite genre.
Of course.
I am obsessed with documentaries. One day I'm going to executive produce or like find a topic for one. That's one of my goals. I really feel like I'm trying to find an interesting topic and I'm going to sell the idea to a TV company. So someday
I'm here for it. I have documentary ideas. You might just be the person to produce it.
What happened to this? Well, how do you do this?
Exactly. Honestly, documentary ideas are endless because I prefer documentaries because it's a short form of reading. You don't have to read, you just watch it chronicled in front of you.
It's a better Wikipedia.
Exactly.
But this documentary is called The Jinx. It's probably one of the top true crime documentaries that are out. If you know, you know. So this is based on a multimillionaire guy by the name of Robert Durst. The first season came out, I want to say, before COVID. So 2019, 2018, there was really rich guy. He was in real estate and he was being investigated for the death of his wife in the 80s, his neighbor in the 90s, and then one of his best friends in the late 90s. So the first murder, they couldn't find any information. The second murder, they acquitted him. And then the third murder, it was kind of what got his name back out there, but they couldn't find anything. So he does this documentary in 2018, 2019, and the director is finding more information. He's hellbent on like convicting Robert. Like, I know it was you. But Robert is older, of course. He has money. He has leniency. And he's been convincing people like, oh, no, it wasn't me. I didn't do anything. The last day of filming in season one, they ask him a question because they find a piece of letter that he wrote and a letter that the killer wrote the police. When I say the handwriting was the same and they misspelled the same word, he was lying to the director and you could see it in his face. He got uneasy. He asked for a break. The director said, okay, let's cut. He had the microphone still on. He went to the bathroom and said, what did you do? You killed all three of them. Didn't know the mic was on. And confessed to the killing. And so this was in 2018, 2019. Of course, the director took this to police. He got convicted. They reopened all of the cold cases. And so season two, now the guy has died. He got convicted, but he died in jail. But season two is showing the aftermath, showing his obsession with him watching himself. It's showing how he really, till his dying day, was trying to convince people with his money, it wasn't me, I didn't do it. And then you just see how the story unravels and like some of his friends after the second time around, they're like, I don't want to have his back. But even though you know what happens, it's still interesting to see this like rich man think that money is going to keep him free forever. The way he calls his friends like, hey, don't forget when they ask you, you know, you love me. So it's just such a good documentary because when you watch the end of season one and you see that, you know what happens, but I just love how the director goes back. They find new videos. They find new audio. They find so much more evidence after the release of season one. And now that he's dead, everyone's coming out. Like, he can't hurt us. He's not alive. Like, right. And it's just such a good documentary because
it's like that one, the one that's still going on now with it was the rich, wealthy lawyer family in North Carolina or whatever. And he killed his wife and son.
I know who you're talking about. Damn.
Right. We already knew what happened, but the documentary just still put it more in perspective of like the family history and just how the father was spiraling, but I also felt the son, you know, they all had some issues. The son that killed the girl in the boat crash.
And the Murdochs.
Yeah. The Murdochs. So yeah, those are always really good. So
it's the same thing, but it's interesting to see how season one, it was all about proving him guilty. They found that tape. They took him back to jail. And now, I mean, he's passed, like, I think a year or two ago. He was really old and died in jail. He got justice was served. But it's interesting to see how till his last breath, like he knew, he went to the court like, well, I'm old. I'm going to just shave my head so they'll feel sympathy. And it was going to work, but it was so much evidence against him. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, they got him. But if you just want to see how, like, the behind the scenes, because I knew he was convicted, but just seeing him still on the phones with these people and mm-hmm. like thinking that he was never going to get caught. It's a good thriller.
It just shows you just how sick and twisted people are and delusional, like the delusion that really exists in the world.
He's just evil. Evil. Yeah. He killed his wife for no reason. And then he killed the neighbor for no reason. And he killed the best friend because the best friend knew everything. And he wanted to make sure he would never get caught. No death was justified. None of it. He just did it because he had money and he was a white man and he could.
Well, he clearly was also a serial killer. Like,
absolutely. After he got away with it the first time, mm-hmm. he was like, oh, let me just keep going.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something interesting to watch, suspenseful, where you will not feel guilty for the person who goes to jail, then The Jinx is for you. Season two is out. Season two is coming out every week, but season one has been out. So it's something to watch.
Okay. And on that note, if you were looking for something that is going to make you laugh and just feel positive, you should check out the Tom Brady roast on Netflix. It was hilarious. I watched it. It aired live. It premiered live on Netflix. Netflix is doing the new live thing. But I didn't watch it live. We watched it like the next morning. I believe it came out because it came out while we were in Bahamas. So yeah, we watched it when we got back.
Did you guys booing then? Because they cut it, I heard. I watched it.
Well, I saw it on Twitter. So
okay.
They did cut it though. I didn't even realize that they had cut it in the special because I had already seen it on Twitter because that went up automatically, started trending on Twitter when Kim Kardashian got booed. But when she actually went up and did her stand up in the special, you didn't even. It doesn't air. And I didn't even notice because it was just like, honestly, like she was cool, but she wasn't even like really, you know, when you watch the roast, especially if you're someone like me and my husband, that we actually like the roast. We just want to see people that are actually funny and are they're not going to have, everyone's not going to be a comedian, right? Like you're going to have they had Kim Kardashian, they had Ben Affleck, and then like some of Tom Brady's old teammates. They aren't comedians. So that's every roast, right? Like I can't remember, was it Justin Bieber when they had the situation and he bombed? So that's always just what annoys me the most is just people that bomb. Like
I just don't understand that. Like, why was Kim there? I don't get it.
So pretty much it's always going to be people on a roast dais that aren't comedians. And it's just a good way of mixing it up because, you know, like, it could just be a whole dais of straight comedians, but it also makes it more fun and interesting because sometimes these people that aren't comedians deliver. Like one of them was Sam Edelman. So he was one of Tom Brady's teammates. Wait, I'm sorry, Sam. His name is Julian Edelman.
Yeah, no.
He was one of the teammates on the Patriots with Tom Brady. I you know, because I don't really follow football, so I didn't know. I actually thought he was a comedian. He was hilarious. The funniest person was Tony Hinchcliffe. I had never heard of him before. He does a podcast, but he was hands down the funniest.
Hilarious.
Like the joke he said, and it's funny because I was seeing the one joke he said about Kim Kardashian, and it was posted by Pop Crave. And you know, every page, like the little pop culture or certain niche pages, they have their set of followers. So clearly the Pop Crave audience isn't a roast audience because they're like, that joke is misogynistic. They should have erased that from the show. Because his joke said something about, like, Kim Kardashian has had more beef than Kendrick Lamar and Drake, which was, like, honestly his weakest joke of his whole set. But it's like, are you, so first of all, you guys clearly didn't watch it because you're bypassing the racist jokes he said. Like, a roast, that's comedy, right? Like, it's nothing really is off limits. Of course, there's to a certain degree of keeping it tasteful, but everything is out there. You're going to get, there's going to be misogyny jokes. There's going to be slut shaming jokes. There's going to be racism jokes. There's going to be disability jokes. The funniest joke was the joke he said to Sam J. So Sam J is a Black lesbian comedian who's from Boston. And she was okay. She wasn't like that funny to me, but she was okay. She didn't bomb.
Yeah.
Tony Hinchcliffe, he said to her, he said, she's Black, she's lesbian, she's chubby, you know, so she meets the diversity quota, but she doesn't just, you know, eat meow meow. She all hell gnaws it. I lost it. I lost it. Because it's such a layered joke, right? Like, it's kind of like, it goes on the lines of, like, homophobia, racist, like, it's all of that. But it was just a good joke. Like, that's literally what it is about. It's just being a good joke. Like, nobody up there is racist. Nobody's up there sexist or homophobic. It's just like, it's shocking. So that's typically what can get a big reaction out of people as a comedian. So overall, I thought it was funny. Jeff Ross was really good. Kevin Hart did a phenomenal job as the host. Nikki Glaser was also, like, I would say she was like second place after Tony Hinchcliffe of just like hilarious. Rob Gronkowski, he used to be on the Patriots with Tom Brady, and he's always gotten joked on for, and people always assume he's dumb. When he actually, I could tell throughout the special, I was like, oh gosh, this guy's crazy. But when he got up there, he had more awareness than I assumed.
He was hilarious. And he's hilarious. Like, the jokes, like, yeah, I am dumb. Like, he just was really good with timing, and I loved it.
Yes. And when he went off the cuff, that's when you could tell, like, oh gosh, he's crazy. Like, this guy's crazy. And then we got a surprise appearance from the Ron Burgundy, which it's just like, you know, Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy is iconic. So he was just really funny. He kept joking because they were at the Forum in Los Angeles. He just kept joking like, New York City, I love you. We are here at Madison Square Garden. I got to hurry back to my flight at LaGuardia Airport. It was just like, what is wrong with him? He's so silly. So yeah. Honestly, the person I thought that bombed was Ben Affleck. Like, he killed the whole vibe. It was like horrible. It's like Ben Affleck, like, no.
But to your point, I got the whole Boston thing. I got the comedians thing. I even got like the ex-coaches, the Robert Kraft. I just don't understand what Kim Kardashian has to do with football outside of fucking two guys. Excuse my language. Besides that, like,
what the hell did the situation have to do with Justin Bieber?
I think at that time he was prevalent and relevant.
He was not. It's still just Jersey Shore. There's always that one random curveball. They do it every single roast. For Tom Brady to bring out a Kim Kardashian, it just shows his level of celebrity. And I honestly give her kudos for being brave enough to be there. Cause there's so much material you could do against Kim Kardashian. And so, you know, she got the slut shaming jokes, and there was even a joke about her not wanting to leave her kids with Kanye West. But yeah, I honestly didn't mind it. And I don't think that she did that bad. I've seen other random celebrities, because there's always a random celebrity in every roast that is on the dais, and I've seen them do worse, and she didn't do that bad. So
no, the worst ever was Ann Coulter. I think she did Kevin Hart.
Oh yeah, she was the worst.
She was horrible. She was just like wrong room, wrong crowd.
Right, because again, it's like someone like her. What the hell did she have to do with who was that? Kevin Hart's roast or something? It's like they do.
It was a recent one.
It might have even been the Justin Bieber one, because some people and Jeff Ross addressed it when he said Tom Brady's the first celebrity we've had in a while who's been brave enough to agree to do a roast. Because I've been wondering, why haven't they done a roast in so long? But people are people are scared. It's hilarious. So I hope more. I hope Tom Brady, first of all, he did a great job too. I hope.
Oh, she was at the Rob Lowe roast, which are.
Oh, Rob Lowe. That was another good one. Yes. So
that has nothing to do with anything.
Nothing
to do. I also love Nikki Glaser. What she said, I saw an interview she did. She said that Tom Brady was a good sport, but as soon as it was over, everybody partied, he got the hell out of here. He was like, thank you. Have a good life. Like,
but you know what? That was a joke throughout the night. That's funny. Oh. People say he doesn't party. No.
He came and he was like, thank y'all for coming. Thanks. I'll never
see okay, again. Okay, bye. I'm he not said mad.
The bond he gave her, it was like, I'll never be in the same room with you again. Right. Well, thank you for showing up. Like, she was like, the way he said,
wow. I love it. I'm not even mad. Like, he is his own person. And he's just like, he's not with all that celebrity mooching type stuff. I get it. I'm here for it. So I hope him doing his roast motivates other people to agree. Cause Justin Bieber was brave. Rob Lowe, like, it is a brave decision to make. Honestly, I think Kim Kardashian should do one.
Ooh,
she was brave enough to take part in one. I think she should let it be her be the star and get roasted. Like, those things are just so good. It's just such a, I can remember, I see clips sometimes on TikTok of the roast of it. Was it for Richard Pryor? And then it's like Robin Williams. This is from like in the 70s, early 80s. So this has been a thing in the comedy world for decades. And I love the art of it. And I want to see it more frequently. Like, it doesn't have to be all the time because it'll make you, you know, not appreciate it, but definitely at least 2 to 3 a year where a major celebrity agrees to sit down and be roasted. Cause then also it's not just the celebrity getting roasted. It's everybody that's on the dais that's getting roasted. It's just good. It's just good comedy culture. I love comedy. So here for it.
Yes. Would you propose Kim be the next one to do it? Or who would you think?
But honestly, yeah. The last couple of ones have been men. I want to see a woman. I think Kim Kardashian would be great. Or Oprah's too clean.
It gotta be Kim or who's another?
Just someone like, I would definitely want to see like a powerful. Oh wait, did they already do Martha Stewart? I feel like they already.
I feel like they did it as soon as she got out of jail.
Right. Yes, they did. They did. Ellen DeGeneres.
Ooh, that'd be a good comeback for her too.
Yes, that would be an amazing comeback for her. So Ellen DeGeneres actually I prefer her over Kim Kardashian. Ellen DeGeneres is at the top of my list for a roast. Yes, here for Ellen DeGeneres to do it. Or someone like a Meryl Streep.
Ooh.
Yes, like I'm talking like a legend, a woman legend.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep is a good
also
sport.
Can, you know, they're known for being like, they could take a joke.
Yes. Well, we got to thank the roast of 2021, because that's how Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg became friends. He was her random person at her roast. Yep. And that's when the whole show came about, their whole partnership, because they were two birds of a feather that nobody ever thought would flock together.
They're just so perfect together. So, all right. What's next on your weekly grab, best friend?
So next on my weekly grab is an oldie but a goodie. I feel like when you watch TV, sometimes you watch things that are old but that are new to you.
Right.
And so next on my weekly grab is the John Wick movie series.
Oh, my God.
I was watching Apple TV after my little shows was over, and they had all 4 of the movies. And I said, let me just stop, because I've seen them. Like, I've seen the notices, like John Wick, and everybody's talking about it, but I didn't get it.
Right.
When I say I am addicted to the John Wick series, I hope number 5 is coming. I'm almost done with number 3. It's basically the story of a hitman who retires for love, leaves the game, but then his wife dies of an illness. And some hustlers they steal his car and they beat him up and they kill his dog. He comes out of retirement, gets his car back. But basically the whole series is him fighting between him wanting to live a normal life, but him being such a good assassin that people keep pulling him out of retirement.
The third series has a bad bitch Halle Berry in it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like seeing 50-year-old Halle Berry whoop some ass. It gives me motivation. I worked out double time after it. Mm-hmm. Damn, she's 55, 56. And when that movie film, she was like in her late, I think early 50s, late 40s. I said, let me go work out. So I got on my bike after that. But it is just such a good movie about just him being a good fighter, and everybody know he's a good fighter and what they do to that. And then how he just, it's like the fight between good and evil. He wants to keep his normal life, but the assassins of people, which, and you wouldn't know because it's regular people. You thought the man was homeless, but he's an assassin killing people. You thought this lady's playing violin? She's an assassin. Or you think this man is really selling birds? No, he got a gun. It's just such, so much action. I've become more of an action girly. So like guns and like killing people and pushing them over. But I don't remember the last movie series that had me actually like screaming at my TV. And so John Wick had me screaming at my TV like, no, stop. Don't go there. Kill him. Run.
Lord Jesus. I've always considered giving it another try, because when I did try, because, you know, the John Wick series is like, I feel like it's on every platform.
It's on Tubi now, so it's free.
It's on HBO. It's on Peacock. It's on every platform where movies are available. You can watch all four movies. And I've tried, but maybe I wasn't in the right setting to fully take it in. I did that, was it earlier this year, with The Equalizer? And that's how I got into The Equalizer, because I was so late to the party, you know, The Equalizer party with Denzel. But that, it's actually a good movie series. So I would have to, you know, just probably give it my undivided attention, because I do love Keanu Reeves. But I haven't gotten into the John Wick thing, because when I did try to watch it, I was just like, it's not really capturing me. But for something that is like old and you just got into it, well, you got me into Next Level Chef. So yes. I finished, well, you know, they just finished season 3, and shout out to Gabby who won. And, but I started watching like season 2, and I'm going to watch season 1 when I'm done with season 2. And my Mark will be like, what's going on in there? Cause I'm screaming at the TV like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Why would it, you're moving too slow. Like, I'm like, when is the last time I have screamed at my television over a show? And the fact that it's Next Level Chef. So I get it. I completely get it. That's what lets you know something is good television.
The best thing about watching TV is sometimes it's not immediately out. Sometimes it's been out.
Yes.
Sometimes something you're late to the party to, but it's like The Equalizer. Like, I don't know what made me watch John Wick. And it is a slow start, the first one. But after the first 10, 15 minutes, when he start kicking ass, and then you inside, I've just been into it. Like, that's on my list to finish. I'm going to finish 4 before the end of this week, because I feel like they're coming out with a 5 sooner than later. So I am going to wait for that. But if you like action, suspense, if you've seen the John Wick movie, let us know. But if you haven't and you like those type of movies, John Wick is your game, and it's free everywhere.
Literally, it's wherever. If you have a channel, John Wick is available. I'm telling you, it's there.
Well, that has been taking me by a chokehold on my down days. John Wick. What's left? I mean,
next. So next on my weekly grab is The Goat on Amazon. It's very similar to Traitors, and what's the other one that just started too?
House of Villains.
So it's a mashup of reality stars competing for the title of the GOAT reality star and a $200,000 cash prize. This one, though, to me is just hilarious. Like, I would say it's similar to like the House of Villains, because House of Villains is hosted by Joe McHale. So, like, comedian hosts are better. Like, I do like Alan Cumming with the Traitors. Like, just the vibe of the Traitors is just really good. But you're getting with the GOAT, and then similar to House of Villains, it's just a lighter feel because the host. But I would say this one takes the cake because it's hosted by Daniel Taj of Taj.0, who I didn't even realize how much I missed him until I
loved the show.
Loved Taj.0. Me and Mark used to watch it all the time. That's such a good show. And he is hilarious, bestie. Like, he is wearing costumes. Like, the Housewives episode, he dressed like Lisa Rinna.
Oh, my gosh. I'm watching
it. Then he's doing his own confessionals, and they keep putting the subtitles. We told Daniel he doesn't need to do a confessional. And he's sitting in the confessional like, well, I feel like... Or when you see the housemates like talking and conniving and like conspiring against someone, he'll walk past and he'll be like, Daniel Tosh, and then walk away. Like, it's hilarious. So pretty much they do challenges that play off of iconic reality show moments. Like, so when he dressed like Lisa Rinna, that episode, they had to like flip a table like Teresa Giudice. And then like, it was just like a combination of little obstacle courses that played off of different Housewives moments. And then each challenge is different. So they do two challenges per episode. The first challenge is to establish who the GOAT is. And then once that person is established as the GOAT for the next main challenge, that GOAT gets to pick the teams that compete. And then based on the losing team is who, when you can start doing the votes of who can go into elimination. And then from there, everybody votes by putting a name, the name of who they're voted for in the GOAT. And then you see Daniel Tosh open the GOAT's ass, pull out the papers of the votes. And then
not the GOAT's ass.
Yes. Cause the GOAT, they're putting the names in the GOATs. It's a big giant GOAT statue, gold GOAT statue. So they put the names in the GOAT's mouth and then it falls down to its ass. And so when Daniel Tosh comes to collect the votes, he has to open the GOAT's ass and pull out the votes. I'm telling you, the show is hilarious. So the cast we're seeing is, the starting cast is Lauren Speed Hamilton of Love is Blind, Jill Zarin of Real Housewives of New York, Reza Shahs of Sunset, who is so funny, like, because he's so dramatic, like, oh my gosh, I'll get into that. So
he needs to be on every show.
Because he's, oh my gosh, he's just so dramatic. Tech of The Real World and The Challenge on MTV. Paola from 90 Day Fiancé. Joey Sasso from The Circle. I did not know who he was. Alyssa Edwards, a.k.a. Justin Johnson of RuPaul's Drag Race. Kristen from Vanderpump Rules. Devon from Big Brother and The Challenge. Tasia Adams and Joe from The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Wendell from Survivor, who they count how many times he says Survivor and the fact that he won Survivor. And the editing is top tier. I think by the end of episode like 2-3, he's up to like saying it like 10 times. Like, yeah, so, you know, when I won the Survivor, I count it off. Then, so I think like episode 2, they did the Untalented Talent Show. So funny. So it's like Jill had to break dance. And yes. And then Tech had to do a baton show. And then Kristen had to bake a cake, and Devon, like, it was just like everybody got these super random ass challenges. So it was hilarious and it was really funny. And so far up to that point of the game, it was really fun. Like, it was fun and lighthearted. But then you see Devon turns it negative, right? Because she's from the Challenge Big Brother. So it's still a game, right? You're still competing for $200,000. So people are going to start to get dicey. And so Devon got a high score because it was just so bizarre. Like, I think hers was, what was hers? I think she had to say something like the alphabet backwards or something like that. And she did a little acting monologue with Paola to just kind of make it more fun. And she's screaming and being crazy. So she ends up getting a high score. Everybody gives her a high score because they were just like, yeah, we love it. But the winner of that challenge was going to be whoever got the highest score. So other people, like when Reza had to do the limbo and he came out with like a wig and makeup and was like rubbing his ass on the pole. you know, Alyssa Edwards had to do poetry. So she put on drag, because for the most part, you're seeing Justin Johnson throughout the show. But she came in as Alyssa Edwards, and then just for that challenge, she did drag again. So those two also got high scores, but what you're seeing is that Devon is not wanting anyone to get a higher score than her. So she's just giving out twos and ones because you can only use one number once. Mm. So Devon kind of started being shady, and yeah, because she wanted to win. People started peeping that. Like, that's a little funny. Justin, Alyssa Edwards, was the only one who kept it real and called her out. I'm loving Alyssa Edwards, by the way. Like, she don't give a, like, she gonna tell you straight up. And then when Devon started being fake, he was like, girl, gone. Like, get on up out of my face with this. Like, shooed her away, walked away from her, whatever. So now from there, Devon has it out for Justin. She's plotting. She now plots to throw an entire challenge to get him out the game. And from there, what you see is now it's forcing people who were wanting to play an honest game to not. Now they're, it's getting dirty. And then with Devon being like that, then here comes Wendell, Survivor. He got dirty too. And ultimately, it resulted in Lauren from Love is Blind getting voted out instead of Justin. So then at the elimination, when Justin sees that he got safe, but at the same time, he saw that people were conniving to vote him out, girl, he done went and called Kristen an alcoholic.
No, not my Lauren.
So it was just so random and cutthroat that now it made him look like the villain over Devon. But really, Devon is the one that started everything. So then now Justin like feels bad because he done told, because Kristen was like, Kristen's the one that was agreeing with Devon to vote out Justin. So when she's like, it's just a game, Justin, he's like, she's like, you know, we love you. He's like, girl, the only thing you love is the bottle. And that's when everyone was like, oh, come on, low blow. So she's mad. So he ends up feeling bad. He's coming to the room like, you know what? I'm going home. I don't need this. And Reza's like, oh my gosh, no, I have diarrhea. No. Like, what? What?
Not diarrhea.
Yes. Like, he's like, no, I have diarrhea. Don't tell me this. Like, it's like, I'm telling you, the show is just all over the place, but it's really good. So the first three episodes are on Amazon Prime, and then they're releasing it each like 1 week, every week, a new episode. So I love it. You know, I love these kind of shows. So The Goat is the new one. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Cause it's crazy. And like I said, it starts off real fun and lighthearted, but eventually it gets shady, but I get it, right? At the end of the day, you're still competing for 200K. These are people who can't use 200K, right? So I love it. Yes.
It's so good. It's on Freevee, Amazon Prime's Tubi.
Okay. Okay. So,
but I see the three episodes. I cannot wait to watch them just because yes. I want to see this drama and I love Lauren.
Yes, yes. And so now, because that's how I caught up with, I didn't know the show premiered. I didn't see no promo, nothing. So mm-hmm. I just, you know, I'm in the TV verse on Twitter. So I saw Lauren say something like, oh, y'all thought I wasn't going to say nothing. You think again. So I'm in the comments. I'm like, what is going on? I'm trying to figure out, you know, put two and two together. So then I see it said Lauren and Devon. I'm like, who the hell is Devon? So I just put Lauren and Devon in Twitter search. And that's when it pulled up The Goat. And I'm like, oh, this show must have just come out. I got to watch it. And then from watching it, I could see like, okay, I see why she's saying that. But granted, though, Devon was not trying to get Lauren out. So, but at the same time, Devon still played a dirty game. But I still feel like Lauren should put more of her energy towards like Wendell and the other guy, I'm forgetting his name, because they were the two that were like, let's throw out. But Wendell's the one that said, let's vote out Lauren because she's a floater. He called her a floater. So I would be more offended at him. But at the same time, Devon literally kicked it off with playing a dirty game. And she's really unapologetic about it. Well, no. It's like, she was trying to make an excuse. Like she did some charade voice or Nene voiceover. And I commented, I was like, girl, stop trying to defend your villain era. Just stand in it. And then she responds back like clear, like something like basically what she was telling me was like, clearly I am. I'm like, girl, whatever. I hope you don't win.
Yeah. I think it's annoying when people want to be the villain, but don't want to own it.
Yeah.
I think
it's like, girl, own it. Like, own it. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not rooting for you, but I mean, if you win, at least you black. You know what I mean? Like, you're a black woman. So I ain't going to hate, but am I rooting for her? Most definitely not. Like, I don't like the whole playing dirty type thing. No, it's not my thing. But yeah, what is last on your weekly grab, best friend?
Oh, I can't wait to watch that show. Last on my weekly grab is a show that's been on for almost 50 years. I watch it sometimes, but this past week was amazing. It is Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. Hosted
by Leo Sis, my queen, Maya Rudolph, shout out to you. You can do no wrong. I just love her. I love everything about her. It was a good episode. It was a good season. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, I just love Maya Rudolph. She can't do any wrong. She did a really good kind of like a Mother's Day pre-tape where she talked about how mothers are. And it was like a video of the daughter calling her to come get her and the crazy lies she would come up with. And it made me think like when I was younger, yeah, I'm gonna call my mom to get me out of certain stuff. And so it was just funny. That opening sequence, it's stuck in my head. I want them to download that on Spotify. But she is mother. I just love Maya Rudolph. I think she can never do any wrong. And one day I will meet her and or get tickets to Saturday Night Live. But it was just a great episode, a great show. And she just
Still on Saturday Night Live? I thought she's not.
No. She left 10, 15 years ago. But this was her fourth time hosting. She left. Yeah, she left right before Bridesmaids. So Bridesmaids was her first, her and Kristen Wiig's like first movie after leaving. So she left over 15, 20 years ago. She's a mom of four. If you guys don't know, her mom is Minnie Riperton, aka Loving You, the singer who sings that. But she died when she was 7. And so like, I know her whole life. I love her. And it was just such a good episode. So I think it was that much more funnier because she hosted. And that intro sequence was everything. So if you want to have Peacock, watch Saturday Night Live. And then just watch Maya Rudolph's episode, honestly. Because every time she's hosted, I will rewatch it on Peacock because that's how much I love her.
Yeah, pretty much.
One day, mark my words, queen. I will. We'll have Leo cake together and talk about Bridesmaids and new show ideas because I have some ideas for Loot season 3. Call me, make me a producer.
Oh, you didn't even talk about that show. You only talked about Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I talked about it a few episodes ago. It's season 2. It's on episode 7. Loot is the funniest show. I feel like people are not talking enough about. It's so funny. It's so witty. It's like she plays like a Jeff Bezos-ish ex-wife. And just watching her transform from this like rich woman who didn't care to like just a normal person. She's catching feelings for one of her employees who's not her type, but then she's also jealous because he's talking to other people. And then you have MJ Rodriguez from Pose. She is hilarious in this show because she plays this uptight woman, but she loves Taylor Swift. I just love the show. It's just it's a good relief. Every week I watch it. 8 minutes, I laugh. So Maya Rudolph, you can do no wrong in my book. So I watched SNL.
Yeah, I love her too. And I knew Minnie Riperton was her mom, but it wasn't until something like a month or two ago that pulled me into like really looking it up and like the, you know, Minnie Riperton and her death and how old her children were. And, you know, like when she was like her last performance, and she performed Loving You. And then at the end, like she was singing her children's name because she knew that she was going to die because she already had the cancer. And they were saying like, you know, you don't really have a lot of time. And I was just like, oh, and she was singing like Maya, Maya, Maya. And I'm like, wow. And now that's the Maya Rudolph we know, who's just so hilarious and just the joy that she brings people as a comedic actress. But, you know, just kind of having that really sad start to like Hollywood because of like, you know, her mom passing away so young. But yeah, so shout out to Maya Rudolph.
Shout out to you, girl. We love you.
Yes.
That's last of my weekly grab.
Last of my weekly grab is my show is back, Love and Marriage Huntsville. Mm-hmm. And I only really want to talk about this new character that's on the show, Sunny. So pretty much they brought back Destiny. Destiny used to be like a friend on the show. She started on the show. She was married to this guy named LeBaric. but they didn't work out. They got divorced. She caught a lot of flack for not talking about the divorce, but she was forced not to talk about the divorce because he like put a gag order on her.
I was about to say he must have put a gag order on her.
Yeah. That's the only reason they and then so she was dating someone else, but she kept it private. And so that's when it was like, people was like, girl, then get, you know, you don't need to be on the show. And so we didn't see her last season. She definitely got booted off the show because she was trying to be too private. But come to find out, the guy she was dating, his name was Moses. And now Moses is married to a producer of the show.
Mm.
Yes. So the woman who was producing the show and working with Destiny, and they allegedly had this friendship, then went and started dating her man. And now they're married. So that's who Carlos has brought on the show. Carlos is not being biased. He is putting Sunny in the hot seat to address the fact that it comes off like, girl, you conspiring the whole time to steal her man? And so you're seeing Sunny just really be kind of wrong and strong about it, talking about he had multiple women he was dating at the time, side chicks. Like, it's just so ridiculous because it's like, girl, do you not think that he's going to do to you what he did to the previous to Destiny? You see her sit down. You see Sunny sit down with Kimmy and Tisha, and Tisha is just like, it's like you could tell Tisha is not biting her tongue. She was like, I didn't know you was trifling like that. Like,
yeah, because it's like when you're a producer, that's the person you work with all the time.
She's sitting here trying to say, like, oh, we was never friends like that. That's a strong word for me. But it's like, really, girl, like, are you serious? Then she's talking about, I tried to tell her, I told her to call me, but she didn't want to call me. You bitch, you call her. What the fuck? Like, what do you mean? So, yeah. So, her coming on the show, she's definitely the new villain. And, it's kicking off on a juicy start. And then we're just ultimately seeing the, because remember, Martell got arrested for, like, threatening Melody, his ex-wife, with revenge porn. So that's the whole, they're finally addressing that. Because I was wondering, I was like, why is this not being addressed last season? But they're addressing that this season. So yeah, a new season of Messy Ass Love in Maritimesville, and I'm excited.
I was gonna say Martell still ain't shit though, right?
Not one bit. It's even worse because this last episode, you see Maurice and Marcel trying to talk to him, and Martell is just so freaking stubborn. It's disgusting. Like, I'm just like, oh, you are such a man, baby. It's so gross. It's so gross to see, but it is what it is. So yeah. That was our weekly grab. And this week, you know, we don't always do this segment, but there's just a couple of topics we can address. So let's get into our hot topics.
Sizzle it. Sizzle, sizzle, sizzle.
All right. So first on the list, I want to ask best friend, are you surprised by the news that Dorit and PK Kimsley have announced their separation?
No, and I knew she was going to announce it right before they started filming or talked about announcements to secure her next season because it was very bland. Her only storyline was trying to heal from this thing. Where it's like, all right, girl, it happened. Go to therapy. Get over it. Mm-hmm. That's not a storyline anymore. So I'm not surprised. They seemed very far away. Like, if my wife got robbed and was going through that, whatever job I was doing would have to kind of like wait until she was comfortable.
Right.
So I also felt a way that he kind of like, are you okay? Okay, great. I'm going to go. I don't think he gave her enough time, attention, and kind of like devotion you need after something traumatic like that. Like, I wouldn't be leaving all the time. I'm going to be with my wife, with my kids until we figure this out. So I'm not surprised, but I'm also kind of like, of course you would announce it before, you know, because they were talking about filming and cast and things like that. So I'm not surprised, but I'm also like, yeah, girl, we knew when you was going to announce it because you don't got shit else to talk about.
I mean, we can keep that topic short because you took the words right out of my mouth. I agree with every single thing you said. And just justice for Erica Jane, because she called she called it at BravoCon last year when they asked her who would be the next to divorce. And she said Dorit and PK. And remember, that was the whole storyline because Dorit was so offended. But Erica called it, baby.
Wow. Did you see the new official friend for Beverly Hills? I don't know if you know who she is.
Is it Jennifer Tilly?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's been like the number one like actor house. She's like top five like actor housewives fans. And she's very funny. And when I've seen her on Watch What Happens Live, she also has good, like always has good commentary. So I think she'd be an interesting friend because she actually like is an actress, but she's also a fan. So
I hope so because they need something because this show is dying fast. So I'm really hoping that this next season brings something new and just a new feel because I'm over it. But I'm hearing some good possibility with the new Potomac with the they got new friends of and new cast members. And it seems like I heard today the tea was that Giselle kicked everybody out of her event. And so the newbies are already classing with Giselle, and Mia got kicked out. So it's like, okay, like,
she ain't got Robin no more. She by herself.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, it sounded like there could be some promise going on. But yeah, I'm here for Beverly Hills, whatever is needed to bring the show back to just relevancy, because it's just, it's gotten more boring season after season over the years. Ooh. Next on the Hot Topics list today is Uncle Gordon Ramsay is coming out with his new season of his show Food Stars. And this time it's with our favorite Beverly Hills housewife, Lisa Vanderpump. What do you think about that?
Nobody can hold the torch to my Gordon. Sorry, Lisa. Nobody gives a damn about
that. Zendaya loves Gordon Ramsay.
I love Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay, you my uncle in my heart. I'm telling you, I go to your restaurants whenever I'm in town. We're going to meet one day. I love you and your six kids. He got three boys, three girls. I follow him and his wife. They give him all this bad rap because he's serious about his craft. But when he loves you and he looks out for you, he's a great mentor. Yeah. Sorry, Lisa. Get ready to lose.
I'm here for it. I'm here to see it because they're both got that cutthroat British vibe. So yeah, and it'll be interesting to see Lisa in the cooking space. We do know that she is a restaurateur and she runs her establishments at the highest of standards. So it'll just be interesting to see. I never watched season one. Tanea has gotten me into Gordon Ramsay. So I'll add it to my list because now I'm watching all his stuff. But yeah, I'm definitely here for Gordon Ramsay versus Lisa Vanderpump. I'm just here for it. I know it's going to be good television. So that premieres, I believe, next week on Fox. And then it'll be on Hulu where we'll be watching it. And then last is the rumors, season three cast rumors for The Traitors.
Favorite show ever. We love The Traitors.
Yeah, so pretty much they had like a promotional run. And Alan Cummings, he made a pre-recorded video. And then there were some audition celebs from the show. It was Jax Taylor, Teresa Giudice, Kenya Moore, Joe Manganiello, Howie Mandel, Javier Poza, Matt Iceman, Kristen Keish, Tanea's other favorite cook and chef, Holly Robinson Pete, and her husband, Rodney. Now, while it appeared, this is from The Sun, while it appeared that they would all be starring in season three of the hit, it was all just in fun. After the video aired, Andy Cohen asked Alan Cumming who took the stage, if the stars will be on season three, and Alan joked and said, no, they all failed their audition spectacularly. Well, some of them didn't do so badly, but an official casting announcement will be coming soon. Until then, sleep with one eye open. So it's a possibility that some of these people could be on season three, maybe, maybe not. What are your thoughts?
I don't necessarily have a need for Holly Robinson Pete and her husband. No shade. I just don't think this, I need entertainment.
Right.
Give me somebody like Bergalicious, because I never knew who the fuck Bergie was, but every time I see him, I'm like, Bergalicious.
Oh, Bergie, so, right.
Bergie, I just never heard of him before that show, but no shade. Holly Robinson Pete, you go back to hosting. I don't need you or your husband on the show. Yeah. I do like Housewives. I do like the Kenya Moore of it. I don't think Teresa should be on Traitors and House of Villains. I think that's just killing. Like, right. I don't think she has a Johnny Banana-esque attitude to where Johnny can fit both. But right. Johnny was, he was off the first episode on one and went to the last episode for the other.
I can't believe they voted him out first. But I
kind of called it because
I get it.
Point, he's Johnny, too good. Johnny would have stayed, he would have won, right?
Which yes. Is there's no way you could. There's no way you could allow that to happen because it's like, no, you got to get Johnny Bananas out as soon as possible.
Exactly. I'm excited for the new season. I feel like this, I hope all of them are not in it because to your point, it just doesn't, I just like the reality TV, even politicians. Give me some Olympic medalists. I think they gave us that in season one. I just don't think it should be too many TV actors because then it takes away the authenticity with reality TV, no matter what people say, it's like not a show. So give me some different people, just no actors. We don't need that, the Pete's, no Joe Manganiello. I just want like, Howie Mandel might be interesting.
I'm also not a fan of couples. I really didn't like Larsa and Marcus Jordan being on last season. I really would like everybody to come in playing an individual game.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like with traders, at certain games, you can benefit from being a couple, but traders is best when you're playing individually, because, you know, it's that one person you can't trust. And then it's like, I don't want to see a relationship breakup because one person is a traitor, one person isn't, and they lie, and then they get divorced or they break up. So to your point, I don't think couples should play the traitor show, but I think that's a very interesting cast. I would love to see some, just some random people from like random, like they've never had a 90 Day Fiancé person. I want to see that. Or maybe like a Sister Wives person.
Oh, or right.
Smothered. I don't know if you've ever heard of Smothered.
Well, they had a 90 Day Fiancé last season.
I forgot which one. Look.
One, she was, I can't remember her name, but she was there.
One of them. Yeah. But I like it. I'm waiting for the new episode. I can't wait. This is always going to be a classic. I'm just interested to see who makes the final cut, because I feel like in that tease, to your point, some of them are going to be on the show. I think you said Jax did it. Jax was on it.
Yeah, I think Jax is going to be on the Traitors. I could see him on the Traitors.
Yeah, I could see Jax. Besides Jax, like, I could see him on the Traitors.
Or if not, now there is the GOAT.
Yes. Or break up him and his ex, or his soon-to-be ex.
Well, I think, yeah, they're already broken up.
Oh. I mean, like, break them up on, like, a show. Like, have them be on the same team
go and
now that they're broken up.
Yeah, there is something. Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. Very. But, all right. So, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review We Watch Too Much TV on whatever platforms that you stream it on. And also follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That is TEA letter V. Okay, best friend, let's get into our the Draggington session that we call our piss poor performance. Peeing, pissing on you hoes. Peeing.
I'm trying to give the pissing sound.
Pissing on you. Pissing on you, ho. Give a little B-box. Okay. Yeah. Who is on your list, best friend?
Ooh, so my dragging is the Challenge All-Stars related. My piss poor performance of the week goes to Miss Cara Maria.
Yes.
I've never liked you or disliked. I've never really cared about her. No shit.
I have never liked you in the half red, half black hair.
I've never really given her any energy. Like, I've always thought she was a strong competitor. She was a good, like, good TV, but I never hated her or liked her. She just was there. She never really did, but on this all-star season, Cara Maria, you are team too much. The way you manipulated and kind of took over that ending of the challenge, the way you were like, I'll give you my star, Avery. I'll vote for the way you're selling yourself because you're scared of the powerhouse that is Cam to go against you is just ridiculous. I don't trust you, Cara Maria. I feel like that's why Brandon had a good point when he voted you in. He's like, yeah, we friends, but in 8 years, I got married, got a divorce, and had kids. Bitch, you ain't call me.
Yeah.
Now I'm about to just have your back because you want to cry? No. Yep. I'm happy things didn't necessarily go your way. I don't think Cara is going to make it to the end. Nope. I think she's not playing a great social game, but I also think it's crazy how you expect people to not do what you've done to them. Like, yes. When it's turn, she'll do whatever she got to do, but then you're crying and begging people to have your back, like,
yep,
tears in a bucket, okay? Because I just do not like you on my screen. I do not want you to win. I think you're great, but I don't think you're the strongest. I pray somebody else, because there only is one winner this season. I pray there's a million other people that can win before you, but you're just not a good person, and I'm not rooting for you. And I really hope that Cam is the one that sends you home and takes your star.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have never liked Cara Maria. She's proven it time and time again every season that she's on. The worst season was when she was with Paulie and they were able to take control over the whole house. We did get to see her manipulation skills in this last episode because it's clear as day what she does. She plays the victim. Like you said, she's a spoiled brat. She wants things to go her way.
And everyone that was in that voting circle knew that. So to see them allow her to change their mind was so beyond ridiculous. Like, why are you letting her get her way when in the end, she could probably whoop your ass in an elimination? So if one person is going to win in the end, you got to play your game the same way she's playing her game. I do, you know, whatever. She got to live to fight another day, but I need to see her ass out of there. I have never, while Tanea says she's never cared, I have. I cannot stand Cara Maria. Every season that she's on, I don't like when she wins. She's only won once. And at that point, it was like, okay, whatever. But I can be honest, I was never really truly happy for her to win because she just plays such a little bratty bitch game. So I just wanted to join Tanea and Dragon Cara Maria because I completely agree. And these last couple of episodes I've been watching, and I'm just like, oh God, she gets on my damn nerves. But yes, my piss poor is going to Amir and his girlfriend Natalie on Summer House Martha's Vineyard. So what we just saw in this last episode that aired was Amir allowing his girlfriend, who is white, by the way, which, you know, at the end of the day, this is a predominantly black show. So she is coming into black space and as the girlfriend of one of the housemates. And she is just it's like you could tell she's trying to look for a moment. Because she doesn't really bring anything else. So she does that by stirring the pot. So she ends up being a part of the girls' conversation in the morning after a party. And the girls keep talking about Nick being handsy, which at this point, he hasn't been handsy with anyone. It was a couple's weekend, so his girlfriend was there. So his focus is on his girlfriend. But at the end of the day, even after the point where they had the conversation with Nick about being handsy, he was very like, okay, I understand. I hear you. And he hasn't done that. Like where, and when they say handsy, it's just like, sometimes he would be a little close. Sometimes he'd be a little flirty, but also Nick is a Kappa. So not too surprised there, but at the same time, like there's nothing he's done that's been completely inappropriate and overbearing.
Kappa, and he's not being crazy. Like he's not doing anything that's insane to where like, we gotta call the cops.
So then now what you see is they were having this conversation, but again, they're having this conversation in confidence, but you just see Natalie decide, I am going to go tell Tasia, Nick's girlfriend, what they're saying about her man. And she gets approval from Amir to do this. Now, this is already like the second or third questionable incident with Amir and his girlfriend. The first one was like the week before last episode where... Natalie feels insecure. She feels like she noticed Amir was looking at Jordan and he was like, oh God, because you know, Jordan wears different hair. So she had on a different hairstyle and she goes, why would you looking at Jordan like that? Like, oh, Jordan. And so to make his white girlfriend feel better, Amir downplays all the black women in the house by saying like, babe, what do you mean? They wear like six different wigs. It's hard to keep up. It's just so like, and so you're seeing this white girl need this validation from her black boyfriend. And so his way of doing that is to downplay all the black women in the house. So that was already like strike number one against Amir and Natalie. Now we're seeing Natalie go up to Tasia, rub her black girl hair, by the way, like, hey, I want to talk to you right in front of Nick. It's like, girl, do you know how to handle situations like this? Like who would do that? You would wait till she's alone. And so Tasia just shuts her down like, no, I'm fine. I'm going to stay right here. So as then Natalie's walking away, she pats Nick on the shoulder like he's a puppy and then goes back. But now Nick is pissed because they're like, well, what was it about? She was like, it was about Nick being handsy. So now Nick is pissed. So when they get back from this little outing, he's ready to confront the girls who she's
absolutely
said, because Natalie had said it's Bria, Shanice, and Noelle. Like, look, like, girl, the Karen of it all. So as they get back to the house, Nick addresses all of them. He's just like, he shuts Noelle down when, mind you, that's our soror, but it's like, no, he was like, Noelle, I know you just want to be involved, but I ain't even I had no interaction with you. So I don't know what you're talking about. Bria, what are you like? You know, then they're even playing clips. Shanice, remember, Shanice is the one that gets naked, like completely naked. So she's like, I never said that you get handsy. I said to you that you're a looker. He's like, you're walking around naked. He was like, and now looking is touching? Like, what are you talking about? And then Bria, she's like, I didn't say that you got, so they're like backtracking, but also at the same time, no one really said handsy. They were just saying that he's flirty, flirtatious. So Natalie took it upon herself to plant words that weren't actually said. And then you just see her sitting there with like the guilty face. It's just
she got called out. I can't wait to catch up to this.
Yes. Yes. So, well, she didn't really even get called out. I think she's going to get called out. Remember, she was just a guest in the house. So I think next week, because you see Bria and Amir having an argument. I think next week, which is the season finale, Bria tells Amir about his girlfriend, because you see her saying, check your girl, bro. So, and then they do have they did film a reunion. So hopefully it gets addressed there too. But Amir allegedly is saying on social media that he's not willing to come back next season unless Natalie is part of the cast.
What?
Yep.
Bye. Don't need
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
We got rid of that cute light-skinned boy. What was his name? I don't remember his name.
The one who took a shit in Nick's...
No, not him. Remember the pretty light-skinned one with the light eyes that was on last season? He's not on this season. He got replaced with Nicole. Exactly. We don't know his name. That'll be you, Amir.
Yeah. Amir, you could go because you're already like pissing people. I'm wondering if how does he feel now watching it back? But
I think he's gonna change it. I think if he's a man, if he's smart, he wouldn't mess up his bag for this girl. Cause I'm sorry, it's too many people.
Well, she plays him at every point. Like he'll already be speaking highly of her, like, oh, she sells higher real estate than me. And then she'll just go more into it. Like, yeah, he
3 million actually. She was playing the hell out of him. Like, well, I sell 3 million. He sells 300,000.
Right.
Like, girl.
Yeah. And it's just like, she just doesn't fit in at all. So I don't see producers letting her join the cast because it would be just a big clash. And so, but now I've been having a discourse with people on Twitter. I'm not liking what I'm seeing by some of the Summer House fans, which we're all, you know, we're Black. And they're like, oh, this is supposed to be a space for Black people and we don't need her. Like, now listen, okay? Because first of all, we're not going to sit here and be completely racist and say no white people can be on the show, because that's not the case on the other Summer House. They have like two Black people on the cast, two Black women.
Right.
And I'm just saying, if we are, because we have Simon, right? Bria's German boyfriend, Simon. We have Simon, but it's like, if we are going to have other white people, I just don't think Natalie should be that person. It could be someone else. But
why? That's another thing. You want her on the show because that's your boo? Like, what else does she bring to that
exactly.
show?
Exactly. She brings nothing
besides you.
She didn't even do a good job at stirring the pot. Mm. Like, she did it in the most Karen, white person, outsider of Black culture type of way. It was horrible. She missed the mark. So no, we don't need her on the show. And then on top of that, you're over here downplaying Black women to appease her. No, we don't need her one bit. So no, and no. At least you got Simon, who is a damn foreigner from Germany, reading the room better than Natalie. No.
Mm.
So those are our piss poor. And now we'll get into our yes segment. Who we're rooting for? Who you got, best friend?
We're going to keep this up with the challenge because I'm rooting for two people in particular. My biggest yes goes to my big bro, Leroy, from the Challenge All-Stars. First of all, I'm happy you're back. I recently saw an interview where he said that he had no interest in coming back, but MTV and just the Viacom family, they have done so many changes in terms of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Yeah. They have training classes. Like, they're really kind of making it a better space for everybody, which I love. But two, the most recent episode, the episode before last, when he was in the Elimination Challenge, he opened up about postpartum depression as a man and then as a Black man. Mm-hmm. It was so heartening. It was so warming. I've never seen a Black man talk about that. Right. And to his point, he said, I only thought women could get it. And he was just talking about how he was depressed because he didn't have a good father figure and he wanted to be a good dad. And he was noticing how it was affecting his relationship and his fatherhood. And he was comfortable enough with Cam, his fiance, to be like, look, I'm going through stuff. And she was a person to like talk to somebody. So I've never seen a Black man right. talk about depression, let alone postpartum depression, and right. break that stigma. And he's so well respected. So I just want to give you kudos for one, putting this in your business. You can tell he's a different man. You can tell he's happy to be a dad. You yeah. can tell his energy and he loves his woman. He loves his kids. You can just tell it's a different person. So I just really want to big him and Cam up for just putting that out there. I've never seen that. But also, give the last end of my yes to Daddy Kifla. I better see you on season 5. It's okay. You're going to get that hamstring Netflix. I love Keefla on my TV. I miss you on my screen, Keefla.
Yeah.
I'd like to follow you and be like, Justice for Daddy Keefla. And the most
He did really good for somebody who had only really been on it once in like, shoot, over 20 years.
He only did once, I think, in 1999 and left. And so I think he said he did this for 25 years or whatever. It took him 25 years. He finally did it. I think he'll be back again. But it was just him. Like, people see people like him and Flora, like, just new blood.
Yeah.
I'm here. So, big Leroy for the yes. And then Keefla, you get a little bit part of this yes, too. I love my bros. Justice for the Black brothers.
My yes is just going to Maya Rudolph. Second in what Tanea said about her earlier, but really mine's, I didn't watch the episode. I'm not really into SNL, but I did catch that opening monologue. I'm your mother.
I'm your mother.
It was just so iconic. Like, she freaking crushed it. But also for me, as this was my first kind of pre-Mother's Day, you know, I'm pregnant, so I'm not officially a mother yet, but it still was a special day for me as I'm preparing to embark on motherhood. So that is going to be my anthem, and I'm going to play it next year when it's officially my first real Mother's Day, and I'm going to play it every year after that, because it's just the anthem for the moms, because I'm your mother.
I'm going to call you after you give birth, and I'm going to have that song in the background. Remember when I put
because I already told Mark that as soon as after I'm done giving birth, I want to hear Trick Daddy, I'm a Thug. That's going to be the first song I want to hear, because I'm a thug and I know I'm about to thug this shit out. And
please then stop.
We could play Maya Rudolph, I'm Your Mother.
Yeah. No, I'm a thug.
Yes, I'm a fucking thug. I'm about to thug this shit the fuck out. My goal is to have a natural birth.
Ooh.
I already know I take pain very well, so I'm going to try my best. At the same time, I'm not closed off to certain pain management remedies. I do not want an epidural. I just don't want nothing in my back. I also hear horror stories about it. So there are other forms, but epidural typically is the option that takes away the most pain. So I'm just like, I don't want that. So a lot of it, I'm just probably just going to be handling it. I've been practicing my breathing. I was already like a yogi before, so I know the concept of breathing. But again, I say that now, I'm not in it yet, but I'm really trying to do my best to just do it, just handle it naturally. And even in general, like, just carrying this baby for 9 months, all the sacrifice that I've done with my body, like, now I'm just like, I got stretch marks, crazy stretch marks all over my stomach, on my side. I've gained so much weight. I never expected to gain as much weight as I did. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, but it is what it is. So I'm just like preparing to really just be a fucking thug and just push this baby out and continue my health regimen and drop the weight and just do it. Cause I am your mother.
Yes, so baby. Cause you're the thug.
Yes. I don't know what this world gonna be, but I know one thing.
Hey,
this is the life for me, baby, because
my best
thug.
Friend's a thug. There you
all
go.
Day every day
I'm a my thug. Best friend's a thug.
Yes, so I already know that that's gonna be my little anthem, and then Tanea will call me and play I'm Your Mother.
I'm your mother. Remember when I pooped your pants and I did that dance?
Yes, oh my gosh, yes. I'm here for it. I'm so ready. So yeah, let's close it out with some positivity. You know how we like to close out our show, giving you some positive affirmations. Best friend, what you got?
It is only when we take chances that our lives improve. The initial and the most difficult risk we need to take is to become honest, by Walter Anderson.
I love it.
Yes. Shout out to you, Walter, whoever you are.
I'm just letting you know, my quote is anonymous and it's from Pinterest. I don't know. I don't know if you need to hear this, but you're sitting on some serious talent that can heal others and yourself in the process. So hone it, master it, and share it with the world. By Pinterest. All right.
Anonymous Pinterest.
Anonymous Pinterest. So listen, y'all, don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review us on whatever platforms that you are streaming. Follow us at We Watch Too Much TV. That is T-E-A with the letter V. Send us comments, questions, concerns, feedback. It don't matter. We are here for you.
And what should we watch that we are not watching?
Thank you. Please let us know. And on that note, our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and thug hair bundles that only thugs would wear.
Baby, because I'm a thug.
Now I'm going to have that song stuck in my
head. First of all, it's an amazing song, by the way. Don't sleep on Trick Daddy. He got some hits. And that is what.
Yes, baby, because I'm a thug.
All day, every day. Okay.
Because we are some thugs.
But it changed for the world. All right, y'all. We will see. We'll be back next week because we're extending the season.
Bye.